Right, we are starting the new parak. We're up to parak tes. We're in Shmuel Aleph, parak tes. Last week, for those that were here, we discussed in the eighth parak how Shmuel, even though it was only the eighth parak, the parak began by describing that Zaken Shmuel, he was getting older, and that his position as leader was really fading away. And the fact that he had a couple of children who he thought would have been okay to take over his role, namely his children Yoel and Avia, they actually were not anywhere near the caliber of a Shmuel. And in fact, the Navi tells us that one of the things that they did was they took shochad, took bribes, and we discussed whether that means he really took bribes or that they just didn't emulate the ways of his father. Her father took absolutely nothing, that he would travel from place to place. They did not. They stayed in one place in Beersheba, causing other people to lose money, so that could have been the bribes. They also paid people on their staff. They didn't really take from themselves. But regardless, they were not going to be the leaders that Shmuel was. And therefore, because of that...
Israeli politics.
Something like that. So the parak discussed the major thrust of the previous parak discussed how the Bnei Israel at that time approached Shmuel and said, "We want a melech, we want a king." And the problem, as we spoke about, were the words "kechol hagoyim." There's nothing wrong with asking for a king, but it was the way that they framed the question.
Right? Yeah, even then, we finished. Even then, Hashem was a little more annoyed with just the kechol hagoyim in general, because Hashem is the king.
Right.
So. Just the fact that they wanted another king was right away step one that was wrong.
Right, that's right, that's right. So, and because of that, what Hashem actually told Shmuel that he shouldn't be offended because this is actually an affront to him himself. And then Shmuel was instructed to tell them what it means to have a king. Having a king is not all fun and games. It entails that your son's going to have to go to the army, he's easily can be killed, your field can be easily confiscated, you'll be taxed heavily, it's not going to be as great as you may think it was. But the pair concluded, which is where we're going to take off from, that they didn't really care. They felt, oh, it's okay, we'll still accept the king and all will be well. With that said, we can now begin. Parak tes. Vayhi ish mibinyam. So now we're going to see a king, because after all, they wanted a king, so now we're going to be introduced to the first king, namely Shaul. And the next couple, the first two psukim of this parak describe the type of a person he was, where he came from, who he came from. Vayhi ish mibinyamin ushmo Kish. So he came from Binyamin, and his father's name was Kish. Of course, this is going to be Shaul. We didn't mention his name yet. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop by his father. He says, Ben Aviel. So his grandfather is Aviel. We're going to need to know that when we get to the commentators in a moment. Ben Sar, Ben Bechoras, Ben Afiach, Ben Ish Yemini. Ish Yemini is similar to like Mordechai in the Megillah Esther. It's called also Ish Yemini. Came from Binyamin. Gibor Chayil. So he was a Gibor Chayil, similar to like an Ashes Chayil. Gibor Chayil, he was a warrior, a very powerful, strong person. It's brought down in the Kli Yakar. He explains, so why is he a Gibor Chayil? Where have we found anywhere that he's a Gibor Chayil? In fact, we don't even find anywhere until this point, even this Pasuk, any mention of his name. So where do we find that he, in fact, is a Gibor Chayil? And so we brought down that when it came to the fighting of the Bnei Yisrael against the Plishtim, which we lost miserably, first time at least, that the Plishtim took the Aron. The Aron was confiscated, but somehow the Luchos were taken out from it and brought back to Eli, while he was alive at least at the time. And Rashi over there brought down that was Shaul ben Kish. Shaul ben Kish was able to somehow get hold of the Luchos. So we find he was obviously a soldier. He was somehow able to get to the Luchos where the Aron was and to be able to take the precious Luchos away. So that certainly is an indication that he is a powerful person. Furthermore, this pasuk actually explains an interesting question. It's brought down in Parshas Korach, in the first Rashi in Parshas Korach, that discusses Korach's background, who he came from, his family tree. Korach was Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi. And over there, Rashi says, oh, stop, don't mention Yaakov. And so, why is it not mentioned Yaakov? It'll be part of Machlokas. So the Mepharshim asked the question, like, what are you talking about? Like, how far can you go back already? You know, we don't find, in generally in Pesukim, we'll find person's name is mentioned, and maybe his grandfather, Ben Sal Ben Uri Ben Hur. I mean, you don't just keep going. At what point do you stop? But it's interesting, over here, it doesn't just mention his father's grandfather, but it goes back six generations of Shaul's family, and it obviously shows that each of those individuals were distinguished by themselves. And therefore, when I hear this pasuk, I have to understand that when it mentions Korach, the fact that it would stop at Levi makes no sense, because if you want to show the greatness of who Korach comes from, you wouldn't just stop at Levi, you would also mention Yaakov, right, also. So therefore, I think that's how it answers the question, based on a pasuk like this. This pasuk doesn't just stop at a few generations.
It also doesn't go to Yaakov.
With this particular pasuk?
Yeah. It goes far back enough to Binyamin, and since we know what we know about not mentioning it by Korah.
It's interesting. That's a good point
if
also.
You want to give him a distinguishing kind of a background, right, go to Yaakov over here.
You know, right. Mike, on 1-6 generation?
There's no law that says 6 is the limit.
Right. That's a good point. Of course,
we have to.
Pasuk Aleph.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. So now let's move on to the next pasuk. So we at least now know a little bit of where Shaul comes from. So now let's describe the person himself. Velo Hoya Bain. So to him, namely, we're talking about Kish, he had a son, Ushmo Shaul. So we now, for the first time in the Sefer, hear the name Shaul, who of course will end up being the king. So what was so great about him? So the pasuk says, Bachor Batov. See, he was a chosen individual, he was a special person, he was Tov, he was good. The Ein Ish Mibnei Yisrael Tov Mimenu. Unbelievable statement. There was no one from anywhere among Bnei Yisrael that was better than him. So it makes sense to have someone like that as your melech. And then the pasuk concludes with an interesting language. Meshichmo B'malo, Meshichmo Sidusion, translated as Mekseifo, from the shoulders and above, Gavoa Mikol Ha'am. He was taller than all other people. Right. So it sounds like he was just a towering, tall person. That's certainly one interpretation. Some also explain...
Well, above the shoulders would be his head.
What?
It wouldn't necessarily mean he was a giant in bed.
Not
and
a giant.
They say,
it could have been a mentally
attacked. They say,
right, it could be that as well. But certainly, the simple explanation means that there was no person that went above physically his shoulders. He was maybe a foot taller than any person. But it could also mean, as you're saying, that means intellectually. We also hear this expression that this person is head and shoulders above... Doesn't mean physically, it means intellectually or other things as well.
There's no possibility that they're comparing him the way they did Noah?
In which way?
Noah and his daughter was the greatest also.
That's true.
And because I'm thinking what's going to happen with Shaul later on, he wasn't the most exemplary of people.
True.
Yeah, but you're talking about Noah's daughter, which was nothing.
You're talking about this, the same people who said we want Malach like the rest of the nations.
He didn't end a bad guy anyway. He did a mistake.
You didn't hear what I said. Bad guy. He wasn't a bad guy?
No. He didn't do what he was supposed to do.
With witchcraft?
If he'd have killed him out at the time, he would have been okay.
Witchcraft?
What?
He followed witchcraft?
That was after.
I'm saying so.
That was after he was destroyed already.
Yeah, but he was his character... Person's character is their character. Are we seeing something? I'm just asking.
It sounds like a different person.
Right.
It sounds like a different person. And on some level, you can say this is before he was challenged with the challenges of being a king, of leadership, in which you can easily be, persuaded to do certain things, to do things which you wouldn't normally have to do. There's a lot of pressures involved. So, but the pasuk is clearly saying that he was the best. So
I think he was a Gibor Chayim, that's why he was great.
Well, that you can see great. By his size. They're saying he's the guy.
No, but besides, he defeated a lot of them. You know the song? Remember the song they got that upset him?
Right.
Shaul Harag, the Elephant, the David, the Rabbi Vim?
Right.
Shaul killed thousands. But he was upset because they said the David killed tens of thousands.
He was a better soldier.
He was great at that point, but the David outdid him.
Right. David's not in the picture. David's not, has never fought before, so. Right. Compared to David, there's no one else out there, so at this point, he is the greatest soldier. And apparently, this pasuk implies that he's also quite an outstanding individual in his own right. That's what the pasuk says. I mean, Ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. What does it mean, tov? Does it mean better? Does it mean a better soldier? It could mean a bigger tzaddik. It's possible as well. So let's go into the Mesudas David for a moment. The Mesudas David explains this redundant language of bachur v'tov. He was good. He was bachur. He was chosen. So someone who's picked as one of the best. So that's tov. So Mesudas David says it means like this: bachur v'tov nivchar b'maseha v'yaf v'marv. So he says that he was his maisev, right? His actions, which it sounds like not just his fighting maisev. It sounds like
midos.
That's what it sounds like, right? And so that is one idea. And v'yaf v'marv, when it says he was also, the second language is he was handsome, a good-looking person, which makes sense. When you have a leader, you want to have someone that is going to represent your country and someone that is you can look up to, more than figuratively, someone who is a powerful person, a good-looking person. Then the Sudas David says, Gavoa v'hoye gavoa mikol am min ksefo v'mal. So that's basically what we saw before in the Sudas Sion. Pasuk is that he was head and shoulders physically taller than everyone else. He was a very, very powerful, big man. Okay, now, so that describes Shaul. If we look in the Radak for a moment, which is really the first Pasuk, which we didn't see, and which describes not his father, but his grandfather. His grandfather was called Aviel. So the Pasuk says, Kish ben Aviel. We look in the Radak, quoting a Pasuk in Divrei Yomim, he says, Omer, Vener holidus Kish. Who was Kish's father? The Pasuk says clearly in Divrei Yomim it was not, as we just read, Aviel, but rather it was Ner. Strange name for a person. You name your kid Candle. Apparently that was the name. Really, it should be Shaul's grandfather. Vener hoya ben Aviel. Ner was the hoya ben Aviel. Fine. So we jump one more line. It says v'yiskin lafarish. It's possible you can explain k Aviel hoyeshmo gamkin there that he didn't just have one name. We find that numerous times that people have more than one name because a name represents that individual, and sometimes a person has such qualities that you can't limit them based on just one name. So he had two names. He was called Aviel. His name was called Ner. So what's the idea of Ner? So we jump one more line. Mitzasi v'yikra rabba, then it's underlined, ikra shmo Aviel. The pasuk we just read, pasuk Aleph, is his real name. On his birth certificate, it says Aviel. However, v'hayu karim shmo Ner. However, whenever anyone would see this guy, they gave him a nickname. They never called him by his real name. They called him Candle. Why would they call him Candle? Very interesting reason. Lefi shoyim madlik neros bimvos ha'afelos. That he would light up candles in dark alleyways. So whenever there was a place that was dark, he used to walk around and turn on some light bulbs and set up electricity, before electricity, of course. But he would light up candles. So therefore, everyone that looked at him, they said, oh, this is Candle. Because that's what he did. He walked around lighting candles. So the question is, why do we need to know that this guy was a maintenance man, he was a custodian, maybe a very dedicated worker. But why do we need to know this? So some of Farshim explain that it's not just coming to tell us that his grandfather was lit candles. But what a candle represents and what he was doing. What he was doing was he was serving the community. He wanted to make sure that no one would stumble, no one would hurt themselves. He cared and thought beyond himself. And therefore, the reason why we mention his father, his grandfather, is to tell us that Shaul had those qualities. Right? He came from that type of such a family background that it was an individual that didn't just think about himself, he thought about others. And that's the quality that you need to be a leader, to be a king, not just to live in your palace and be comfortable, but to think about the people in your country and make sure that their needs are being served.
Okay, connection to David again.
How's that?
I've never been there.
Avner ben Ner. Where are you? You're continuing?
Before that.
Okay, before, where? Oh, okay. Yeah, it would be...
Ner or you have been Avia.
Ner kishmo v'hu hoy avi avner. Okay. Yeah, so we find that elsewhere. Echad kora shmo kish v'achar kora shmo ner kishmo v'hu hoy avi avner. Okay. All right, so that describes a little bit of who Shaul was, who his grandfather was, and a little bit about his personality. Fine. Let's move on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel tells us v'tovanaha asonos l'kish avi Shaul. So a devastating thing happened to Kish, who was the father of Shaul. What happened? He lost all of his he lost some donkeys. He lost some of his animals, and he ran away. So what do? When your animals run away, so you ask your kid to take care of it. V'yomer Kish el Shaul b'no. So Kish turned to his son. It's interesting, he keeps telling us, for the pasuk, the same pasuk said Kish avi Shaul, then again it says Shaul b'no, his son. Kach no idchas achad mihanarim. Go and please take one of the one of my servants, someone else, with you. V'kum leich and bakesh es asanos. Please go together. I'm not going to ask you to go by yourself. But if you can go with someone else and to try to find my animals so that we can retrieve them and get them back. And we're going to see that this is going to be the method in which Hashem devises and pulls the strings so that Shaul ultimately will encounter Shmuel. And when Shmuel HaNavi is at some point going to see Shaul, he's going to realize that this was a person that was supposed to be the next king. We'll see that that's actually brought down in this parak. We'll see later on. But anyway, this is how it was devised, which means that Shaul is really at this point ready to be a king. And Shaul was a person who obviously, according to these psukim, was deserving of such a position. It's interesting nonetheless that his father would ask him to do such a menial task, such a seemingly insignificant thing as to go to search for a bunch of animals, some lost a donkey, who cares. And we find this throughout. We find this by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? By Moshe Rabbeinu, the godless, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, that, by the snaz, that he was looking for an animal, right? And in fact, the Chazal tell us that he took the animal and he put it over his shoulder because he saw the animal was drinking from water, and that it was so thirsty that how can I have him schlep all the way back? So the sensitivity of caring for even an animal, kal v'chomer, he should be caring for a human being.
This is Yaakov told Yosef brothers.
And that's how this whole episode began. Right. That's right. So in this way as well, but this not gonna be as negative of a story, he'll end up becoming a melech. But nonetheless, let's continue. Pasuk Dalet tells us Vayavar Bahar Ephraim, Vayavar Be'eretz Shalisha Vlomatso. So he went to these different locations. Unfortunately, Vlomatso, he couldn't find them. He was looking everywhere. Viavu be'eretz Shalim be'ayin, Viavor be'eretz Yemini Vlomatso. So it wasn't that he just looked for a couple seconds, looked under here, and said, "I'm sorry, I can't find it." But he really did quite an extensive search, and nonetheless was not successful. Pasuk Hey, Hemabah be'eretz Suf. Ultimately, they made it to a place by the name of Suf, which is an unusual name. The reason why it was called Suf was not because of anything there, but by someone there. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Be'eretz Suf, it's the first Rashi, the Targum brings down, Ba'ara Diba Navia. This is referring specifically, this land had a Navi present, which of course is Shmuel. So they happen to have been looking all these places, and now they're in Suf. V'shol Omar, Benar. At this point, Shaul turned to this attendant that was with him, Asher Imo. He said, let's turn around. Let's. Enough is enough already. We're not finding it. We tried our best, and there's no way we're going to find these donkeys out of all these places we looked. Pen, and there's a bigger problem. Pen yechdal avi min hasanos, but dog lanu. Maybe at this point my father is no longer concerned that he wants his donkeys back. He's worried about us. You know, who knows? We've been gone for a long time. It's worthwhile at this point to just to cut our losses and to head back home. So we look at this other Rashi. Pen yechdal avi min hasano. So the question is, why would he have given up on the donkeys? They're expensive. They're not cheap. So maybe you would want them. So Rashi explains. Pashut pshat. Shedal daaga shelanu alav, because the daaga, the worriness, the concern that Kish will have is going to increase to the point ashishkach esasanos. At this point, he's gonna not think about the donkeys anymore. He has something a lot more to be concerned of. And this is certainly an interesting Musar Haskel, that the idea is that, you know, sometimes we're so focused and worried about what's going to happen to our donkeys that sometimes we don't think about people and our own family and our own children. We chase after the donkeys of the world. And we have to focus on other things as well, and sometimes forsake the things which are not as important. It's brought down in the Mishpatot Zahav, which I'd like to share with you, this idea brought down in this pasuk, that it's also brought down in English over here, is a Tosefta in Brachos that says, it's only one line, it's not in front of, not in your packet, I'd like to share with you. It says, Shaul lo zochel malchus il nehanava. Why did Shaul become the king? What trait really stands out? His anivus. He was a humble person. Where do we find anywhere that he was humble? We find that he was a violent man, a man of war. How do we find that he was an anav? So on this, the Tosefta Brachos explains, based on the word which I underlined in the text. What does it say? Shenemar pen yechdal avi min hasanos v'doag lanu. Shoku avi lanu. Right. Why is that so anivus? Is because
he's a servant.
He's talking to a servant, and he's talking about my father is going to be concerned about you. What do you mean? My father's going to be concerned about me. He's going to care more about me, I'm his kid, than you. Obviously, you know, your servant, you know, cares about you a little bit, but not on the same level he cares about me. But he was not focused only on himself. He was busy focusing on someone else. And therefore, the Tosefton Brachos learns out from here, from that word, the Lanu, that he was someone who could become a king. Which is interesting. To become a king, the Tosefta expresses anivus. Being an anav is the trait of being a king. Probably because, again, the challenges of being a king, you could certainly easily leave you to becoming a Baal Gaiva, a tremendous Baal Gaiva. And that's the reason why in Halacha, it's brought down Halacha when it comes to the Amidah. You're not allowed to bow down more than the four times that we do. The exception, one of the two exceptions, is a Melech. A Melech has to bow down at the beginning of Shemone Esrei and remain bowing down throughout the entire Shemone Esrei and only get up at the very end. And the idea is that when you bow down, you're showing that you're subservient to someone else, Hashem. So we're just simple people, so we only have to do it four times because our gaiva level cannot necessarily hit so high. But when it comes to a melech, where he has those challenges, he has to constantly remain bowed down. And he has more to think about. So a melech has to walk around with a sefer Torah. We don't have to walk around with a sefer Torah. Maybe a nice thing to do once in a while, but a melech has to. It's the halacha, because it's so easy for him to divert his attention from halacha and from the Torah because of all of his other challenges.
Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a melech, and he was on the mikolanim. That's it.
Right, that's right. He was on the mikolanim, and it's not a coincidence that's what's said about Moshe. Very good. Okay. It's brought down furthermore over here, which is, I'm not sure if it's in the English or something, but there's another inyan as to why it shows that Shaul's fit to be a melech is because he showed kibud avim. He showed respect. He listened to his father. And so again, you can say, what does that have anything to do with this? It's brought down the Kli Yakar. Why does the Kli Yakar say that that's a trait for a melech? It's the same idea. Is that a melech has to realize that he's not above the law. There he has certain rules, and there's things that he can't do. He just can't do whatever he wants. And that's what Kibud Avim teaches you, that there's someone above you.
The problem with all this is, Shaul is the first one who's being picked because he has certain traits.
Right.
Basically, the others, it was after David, it was through families, genealogical. they did not necessarily, and most of them didn't have the traits.
By David, you say?
After David.
Right.
It's,
right. That's the David was guaranteed this dynasty, and therefore, that's the downside.
Right.
Is that you know.
So it doesn't necessarily. The requirements for Melech really are your genes. They
right.
Have nothing to do with.
Right. At least at the time of David, at this point.
Right.
Because he's not. He doesn't right. come. He comes from Binyamin. You know, so he. But right. You're right. Which means also when it would come to before David, before there was this promise that David would have a dynasty, so when it would come to Shaul, or let's say his children, if let's say he would have a child that could potentially be the next king, he would have to be perfect, for sure be perfect, because he doesn't have any guarantees that he'll remain that way, like David and his descendants would. Okay, let's move on to the next pasuk. We're up to pasuk Vav. The last line. The Yomer Lo, so let's just, we have to go. My father is worried about us. Pasuk Vav. The Yomer Lo, so he turned back to Shaul and said, you're right, but look where we are. We're in Suf. Hine na'ish elukim ba'ir hazos. You have a man of God in this city. So why would that be important? Maybe it's worthwhile to see him and to shake his hand, to get an autograph. Va'ish nichbad, an honorable person, kol asher yadaber bo yavo. By the way, whatever he says, it happens. So he's like a miracle worker. Atah now neil chasham, let's go there. Ulai, perhaps. Yagid lanu estarkenu, he'll tell us the proper way, asher halachna la, which we should go. So what is the motivation of the messenger? The motivation is, well, we'll go to the Navi, we'll go to the Gadol Hador, and we're not going to ask him, you know, should we fight in a war, should I marry this person, should I go into this business? I'm going to ask him where the donkeys are. Can you imagine, like, the most ridiculous question that you would hear, that you would even be embarrassed to turn to a Navi and ask such a question, but that's what the messenger said. The messenger said that, you know, this is what that we should do. Let's go to this prophet, and we will ask
to Shmuel.
Right. Because that's where Shmuel lives in Suf. He was so famous that they named the town Suf, which, as we said in Rashi, means someone who sees, someone who's a Navi. Okay. So let's go, and why should we squander this opportunity? Pasuk Zion. Vayomer Shaul Anaro. So Shaul turned to his friend, his messenger, the person he was with. Tehini Nelech, okay, fine, you want us to go. Okay, we can go. But my Navil Ish, what are we going to give to this person? You can't just go to this person and ask him to provide a service for us, to tell us where this donkey is, and then you turn around and you're supposed to pay him. Right? This is not a freebie, it doesn't work pro bono. Ki halechem ozal mikelenu, we really have nothing to show for ourselves. We can't even give him bread. With the Shura Ein Lohavil Ish Helokim. We have no bread to provide. We have no gift to give to this Ish Helokim. Ma Itanu. What do we have with us?
Why couldn't they just? They must have had some money.
Apparently, we had nothing.
Well, how did they live up until now?
They
were going to go. They lived off the land. They had to have something.
Well, they were with their father was in some other community.
Right.
They filled up his sacks with food.
So they must have had food then.
Right, but it says they ran out of food. They had nothing left.
Well, how are they going to get home?
Right. Maybe you could say they had just enough of the provisions to make it back, and that's why they really. That's why Shaul said we have to leave now. We really have to get back, or else it could be dangerous. You're right. It's possible that they may have had something. It says ki halechem ozol mikelenu. The bread has gone from our vessels. Which means that maybe they do have enough to survive themselves, but certainly not to give away, you know, to give to some person on the chance that he's going to tell us where these donkeys are. And it just doesn't make sense that we should do that. Okay, so Pasuk Ches tells us V'Yosef Hanar La'anos es Shaul. So the Nar continued, and he spoke to Shaul. He was answering him. By Yomer, and he said, Hine, nimsa biyadi reva shekel kasef. In fact, yeah, I found some money. I happen to have a Reva Shekel Kosef, which Rashi again brings up a Targum of Zuzachada de Kaspa, so a silver Zuz. He found one little coin. He was digging through his pockets. He initially didn't think he had, so he looked underneath the sofa and he found a coin. But Asati Isha Elohim, so now we have what to give to this Isha Elohim, to Shmuel. The Higgins is the one who has Darkeinu, and he'll be able to tell us the proper way to go. He'll be able to tell us where our lost donkeys are. Now, the key word over here, which I underline as well, is Hine. The Abarbanel, which I'm going to share with you, because it's quite remarkable what he says. I'm not sure if it's written down in English, no. The Abarbanel says as follows. It's just a couple, one line. That the word Hine is Mor Davar Chadash, something which is new, a Chiddush. Hine, behold, as though it's something which wasn't around before. And he brings the idea, for example, when the Pasuk says by Yaakov, the Pasuk says, Vihine hi Leia. Behold, the next morning he woke up and behold, it was Leia next to him. And of course, Laban tricked him. Then the Pasuk, they asked, what do you mean? Before it wasn't Leia, it was Leia the whole night. But the idea was, it surprised him. Hine means, was shocking, was something which either wasn't there before and was, or it was always there, but it just wasn't, you weren't expecting it. So the Barbanel says that we can learn out from the word Hine from this Pasuk, Shenimsa biyado derech nes, that the coin that was found was a miracle, which means he checked his pocket and it wasn't there, and then like a magic trick, it was there the next time. Why? Why does the Abarbanel feel compelled to say that? The Inlokain have a little name or Yeshli or Yesh biyadi. He should have said instead, I have it, or it's in my hand. Why did he say, Hine, behold? So it implies, Shakul Hayim in Ashmayim, that Hashem is pulling the strings. So why did it have to be a nace? Why do you have to frame it that it's a nace? It's a nace. So we find it all the time. I can't find my car keys, and I looked everywhere. The truth is, it was always sitting there. I just didn't notice it the first time. But the idea of what the Abarbanel is telling us is that Shmuel and Shaul had to meet. They had to have this encounter. And therefore, even if Hashem would have to perform a nace, which Hashem normally wouldn't perform miracles, doesn't just perform miracles for us, but he would perform a nace in order to make sure that Shaul would definitely have an encounter with Shmuel so that ultimately he'll become Melech. So far that he says, Hine must be that, the only pshat is, it was a miracle. Even though you could certainly say it was a miracle.
It starts then with the loss of the animals.
Which, that's probably why this all...
Yeah, he lost the animals, so he would meet...
Right, so he would ultimately encounter Shmuel. Exactly. Right, so all this was already pre-planned in order to make sure that he would ultimately meet up with Shmuel. Okay, we're now up to Pasuk Tes. Welcome back. Pasuk Tes. We're on page 54. Lefanim b'Yisrael komar Hashem ko'omar ha'ish b'lechto lidur ha'shokim l'chu v'nelchu ad haroa. So this next pasuk, which is very interesting, in the English, it puts it in parentheses, which is kind of strange, which implies the reason why they did this when they translated it. Apparently this pasuk has absolutely nothing to do with the storyline. So, Lifnim, in the good old days, B'Yisrael, Komar Ish, this is what a person would say, B'lechtecha Lidrosh Elohim. Whenever you wanted to go in to see someone who was spiritual, who could tell you the future, you would say, L'chu v'nelcha ad haro'eh. Let us go to the ro'eh, to the seer. Kilo Navi Hayom, that which we call a Navi today, Yikari Lifanim Haroeh. They used to call him a Roeh seer. What's the difference? Why do we need to know this information at all? That I'm not really sure. But at this point, the Chasam Sofer explains the difference between a Roeh and a Navi. It's brought down a little bit in the English, but he brings a lot more in the Mishpat Zahav, is that a Roeh only serves one purpose. A Roeh is, he sees. He's able to see the future. So you go to him, you have an issue, whatever it may be. So you ask him something, and he will tell you what will ultimately be in the future. That's why he's called a Roah. That's all he does is see. A Navi, the Chassam Sofer says, has a double mission. He, of course, has the ability to tell the future, but he also is there in order l'hochiach am, in order to rebuke people. So if someone's doing something wrong, he puts us back on the straight and narrow. He puts us on the proper derech, on the proper path. He says that's the lashon. This is an interesting idea. What the Chassam Sofer says, he writes in this part is brought down to English, that the word navi, it comes from the word niv safosayim. Niv safosayim is the fruit of the lips. So navi comes from niv. Niv safosayim, fruit of the lips. So what exactly does that mean? Because a navi, on one hand, he rebukes you. He tells you you're wrong. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. And you could feel within, like, this guy's not so nice. The words that are coming out of his mouth are painful, are harsh, are cruel. Niv safosayim means it's the fruits of the lips, which means that the things that he's saying, they're really the best things that we could possibly hear, because without him, we would be, who knows where we'd be. So the Chassam Sofer therefore explains, and this is certainly worthwhile discussing or thinking about, that in the good old days, they were called a Roah. Because the people, okay, they people were all good with the Zohar a little bit, but Bederach Klal, generally speaking, they were decent people. So therefore, the purpose of this person was just to tell the future. He was a Roah. But later on, he became, that position was a Navi, because he had to not only tell people the future, but also to teach them the proper ways of behavior. So that's why this pasuk is written in parentheses, to go and see the Roah. V'yomer, pasuk yud. V'yomer Shaul l'nara. So Shaul, again, who is with his attendant, said, Tov divarcha l'cha ne'lecha. So at first, Shaul felt, we shouldn't go. We should get back to my father's place. But afterwards, he says, you know what? All right, let's go. V'yelchu el ha'ir, and they went to the city, Asher, Shom Ishalki, which, as we said, was Suf. Now, they can't just walk into a city and he's not just going to be on a street corner. Obviously, they have to find out where he is, and therefore they're going to go and ask people, and he's probably very famous, and hopefully he'll get an answer. Pasuk Gudalf, that's what Pasuk Gudalf says. Heima Olin B'mali Ha'ir, so they went to this particular city. They were climbing up to the top of the city. Heima Matsu Na'aros Yotzos L'Shomayim. They found young girls, and what do young girls always do whenever we hear about where they are in Tanakh? They're always drawing water, so that's what they were doing here as well. That was their hangout. V'yomer lehen, and Shaul, who apparently at this time was not much for words, he said only three words, three simple words. Hayesh bozeh haroah. Is there roah here? Is the seer in town? And that's, that word is the reason why the pasuk before, even though it was in parentheses, is kind of explaining why he called him a Roah, not is the Navi here. Why didn't he call, after all, we know that Shmuel, we call him Shmuel a Navi. We don't call him Shmuel a Roah. So that's why he had that pasuk to say, because at that point, Shmuel's primary role was just the telling people the future, not having to rebuke them so much. So he asked a very simple question, Hayesh Bazeh Haroah, three words. That's it. So what is the answer to that question? Yes, or the answer is no. That's all. He was asking a close-ended question, and therefore you should be getting a very simple one-word answer. So on this, we'll see this next week, Psukim, we'll see, unusually, that they do not give one answer, one word. Rather, V'tanenna Osam V'tomarna, they answered, responded to Shaul, and says, V'yesh. He nailafanachla, yeah, he is here. Maher, go quickly until now. Ki hayom bol ir, he's at the city today. Ki zebachayom la'am babaman. You didn't ask me this, but I'm still going to keep talking and talking and talking to you. You should know that he's bringing a sacrifice today on a bama. He's bringing a karba. And that's not enough. I know you only asked me if he's here. I already told you that, but pasuk gimel. Kivoachem ha'ir, that when you come to the city, King Tim Seun Oso, you'll find him, but Terem Yaleh Haba'amosa Le'echol, before he goes and brings the sacrifice, you should speak to him. Ki lo yochol am adbo, because the people are not going to eat until he brings it. Ki hu yavarech hazevach, because he's going to make some type of bracha on this carbon, he's going to bless it. Afrikin yochol ha'kru'im, afterwards the guests are going to eat and partake of the sacrifice. V'atah now, olu go up, ki oso kahayom timsun oso, because today you're certainly going to find him. So you hear this and say, what on earth is going on? Simple question, simple answer. Why did they have to go on and on and on? So let's look, we'll conclude with this radak. There's a few answers, but the radak says, one of the few answers cited in the Gemara Brachos. On the previous page, the radak on page 54. We'll stop with this radak. Kibbo'achem o'ir, kin amur rabosein zechrono avracha. Chazal tell us, ask the question, ma hayikol harichos hazeh? Sharichu el hanaras ladaber. Why are they going on and on? Just answer the guy's question already. So in this, the Radak says, Mehem Amru kidei l'stakil biyofav shel Shaul. We've opened up this parak to say that Shaul was a good-looking man, a beautiful man, and therefore they continue to stall and to stall and asking. Yes, in order to be able to have more and more time to be able to speak to him. We'll see the rest of the Radak and other explanations next.